Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5. Well, if you could, give us a 10-star review, but right now, Apple only has it set for a 5-star review, wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Game Source, in honor of Ox 1947, LakersBall.com, but he's not here today. But I know who is here today. You got to go and support Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet at LakerHolics.com, plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you can support all of that, it is sincerely appreciated. And big shout out to J. John Cerceda for giving us the heart on Facebook. We truly appreciate you catching us once again. Plus also as well, a big, big heads up to all of our YouTube viewers. You guys have been amazing out there. You've kept going nonstop even after the season ended. You've been giving us good numbers, and I'm truly indebted to you. And it is truly by all of us here at the Lakers Fast Break, very much appreciated. We will go into the NBA playoffs here in a little bit, but of course, it all starts off with the Lakers. Do you want to mention that I've got coming up here in the not-too-distant future a wonderful Lakers fan and also a guy that's an expert on the NBA draft, Stone Hansen. He returns here in an upcoming episode. He has much to say on the Lakers and what's going on there, plus also as well the NBA draft on the top three, who he thinks will go first, second, and third. That's coming up here in a couple of weeks, but for right now, it is the Lakers. They could be in Chicago at this point in time, along with our good friend Rafael Barlow, who's there now for the NBA Draft Combine, checking out all the prospects, because the Lakers may look into getting into or buying their way into either a late first round or a second round draft choice if there's someone that they really like. So they're right now investigating to see if there's someone that could fill out the roster. And boy, do they need the roster filled out, because there's a lot of changes that need to be made. But the one biggest thing right now that's going on is for the biggest roster thing to be filled is the coach. Who is going to coach the team? That's still continued. There's no real update on the coaching carousel per se. Kenny Atkinson got interviewed for a second time by Charlotte. He is closely being monitored. So when you go back for a second interview, that means you're might be in the running, but I know he's already interviewed with the Lakers as well, but currently he is an assistant coach at Golden State, so I know his plate is full. There's other options for the Lakers as well, but no new persistent rumors on who might have interviewed with the job this week. Right now it's all about why and what they're interviewing about. And one of the things that interested us, and I sent this over to Laker Tom and everybody else that was going to be on the show, about some of the things that are rumored to be asked of these coaching candidates. And the one thing that stood out, which I know is to much of Laker Tom's chagrin, is, and I'll introduce you here in a sec, Laker Tom, is basically they're being asked reportedly about how they would utilize Russell Westbrook, which would mean either that they would say, go ahead and trade him out, right? But I think in that jest, I think they're going to go ahead and say they're asking how they would utilize Russell Westbrook as far as if he were to stay on the team. So I'm here today with a good man indeed who will comment on this, who has been no short of words when it comes to Russell Westbrook and his situation. Someone who really wants Russell Westbrook gone in the worst way possible. Not as a person, because he's a very good person, obviously, just immensely great in the fashion world and has contributed well as far as that's concerned. But as a player, Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he wants him on the team, but it is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out his latest article today at Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, when reportedly you hear that and reportedly you read that these coaching candidates are being asked about how they would utilize Russell Westbrook, that doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies about the, I guess, the confidence that the team has in getting rid of him sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, it's so easy because there's such low-hanging fruit that hangs around on Lakerland for writers and bloggers to just pluck out of the air and all of a sudden get a lot of attention.
You think?
And it's because subjects like this have such a visceral reaction from Laker fans, especially ones who've gone through this season with Russell Westbrook and don't want to even consider the concept of going through a second season with him. You know, I think it's part of, in retrospect, my first reaction was obviously one of, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I think the second reaction is that they're trying to do the right thing. Jovan Buha did for The Athletic, did a tier analysis of the various coaches. You know, tier one was Nick Nurse, and there was nobody else on that tier. And, you know, and he went down the line on it, and couple of the guys from the Bucks staff were in the second tier.
By the way, count out Rajon Rondo after his contract.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Rajon just shot himself in the foot.
Literally almost, yes.
Yeah. You know, how much do these interviews really count? You know, somebody can come in and knock everybody off of their socks and just all of a sudden win a job. I find that hard to believe. But this is one of those types of questions that HR guys would think is a perfect question for them to ask for the coaches of who are coming in, because it gives them an analysis. It doesn't really say that we're going to keep Westbrook, but it says, what would you do and what would your approach be? And okay, it could serve a couple of purposes. Number one, maybe there's something that they haven't thought of. Maybe some coach comes in and he says he's got a plan, and the Lakers say, well, man, okay, if we can somehow, what's better than a mulligan is not having it be a mistake. Having it be just, you know, injuries just prevented us from doing it. So they could, you know, there's lots of different ways to spin it. I think, you know, I think that they want to get a lot of information and compare the answers of all of these different coaches and so forth. And the underlying thing that I keep hearing is that they're blaming Vogel for not being more authoritative, I think, and more demanding. And it's kind of funny because the criteria that they set up of choosing his assistant coaches and limiting the length of his contract and so forth, and pretty much decapitated his ability going forward. And so, you know, I'm sure that, you know, Rambis in coaching sessions and things like that were things that happened because you don't have, and hopefully the Lakers have learned from that too, that you interfere with a coach's job is not a way to build confidence for the team. And maybe that was part of what undermined Frank Vogel with the players this year, you know, that basically they could see that his job was in trouble, even though they may be the ones at fault for his job being in trouble. They could still see the dynamic that was going on between the media and between Frank and between, you know, and then all of the discussions about Russ and then the starting decisions with DeAndre Jordan and Drummond and all of those things that are front office interference with the coaching staff, because they didn't hire a coach who was confident enough that he would walk away from the job like Ty Lue did, if you're not going to give me the power that I need, or alternatively, you know, demand it and say, listen, you know, if you want me to be the coach, this is what you have to give me. You know, I like a lot of the people that they're looking at. We'll see what happens. They've included some interviews for people that I think would be disastrous. And like Joe says, there's just too many chefs in the kitchen advising Jeannie what seasoning she should put in and what's most important in the recipe for finding the right coach. We'll have to see. You know, I think the favorite still is Quinn Snyder. I think he's the favorite simply because he fits all of the things. And he did what he could do with the Utah Jazz. I don't think he could have been more successful. I don't think any coach could have been more successful with Utah over the period of time he had him. So I like his offensive approach and his defensive approach. I'm probably be frustrated as hell because he's very much like Vogel when it comes to substitutions and changing his starting lineup and making adjustments, you know. But of course, he came from an environment where the team was very stable, you know, and very doubtful of the Lakers will be a stable franchise, you know. Even if we're winning, you know, there's still going to be turnover every year. So we've got a month till June 23rd is, I think, is that the draft?
In that range, yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And this is what, the 18th? 19th?
The 19th of May, yep.
A little over a month. So we got a little over a month to wait. And I think June 29th is the deadline for Russell Westbrook to opt in. knowing Russ, he may wait until then just to make sure the Lakers, you know, can't do anything until the last minute.
You said he could do that, but I have a feeling he's going to draw, you know, as soon as that contract is put in front of him, he's going to sign it very quickly. Now, when it comes to Quinn Snyder.
Well, I don't think he signs anything. I think
he just says yes to an extension.
So he has an option to exercise.
He picks them. He has the picks. That's what I meant. Picking up that.
He has to exercise that option.
That's what I meant. That's exactly
right. And he has to do it before June 29th.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be picking up that player.
Both he and Nunn.
Yeah.
Although Nunn's announced that he's going to do his, but we haven't heard from Russ yet.
Well, it's $47 million. So you tell me.
Of course he's going to do it, but.
Yes. I think the other question would be James Harden if he picks up his option or he decides to go ahead and renegotiate to get an extension. I think that's still up for debate on whether or not both sides on that equation when it comes to the 76ers. But. That's,
you know, karma's coming around the corner for Daryl Morey too, isn't it?
Yes, that it is. That it is. But I wanted to ask you this. You mentioned Quinn Snyder. There's a little bit of a little hitch in the road then, you know, when it comes to Quinn Snyder. And that's the fact he's still under contract.
Right.
So you're saying he's the favorite. He would have to be either relieved of his duties or somehow work out a trade.
I think the general sort of analysis from everything I've read on it is that we'll give a draft pick for Nick Nurse because he's that good, but nobody else.
Yeah,
Quinn Snyder would have to have reached a mutual agreement, which I'm sure if he wanted out, he could. They'll let him out if he wants out. You know,
I think that would be a case. Yes.
Yeah, so I think it'd be a mutual parting of the ways that, you know, okay, listen, it's new ownership coming in. It's a franchise that's going to make some moves with their major players. One of the two major players are going to be traded. It's not a situation that I think makes sense for not to do something. So we'll see.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
can
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell
a copy,
phone version you know? That was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're climbing their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
That,
really?
Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want it. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it's Laker Tom from Lakerholics.com. Be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. Wanted to ask you this as we head into our next subject, and that is with Russell Westbrook being part of everything that's going on and the Lakers still much of a part of the jokes that are going on social media, but also as well in the analyst booth where they seem to still have fun and take shots at the Lakers. I know JJ Redick, who recently retired from the league late last year, and Patrick Beverley, who is on vacation because he just lost with the Minnesota Timberwolves, they've had a fun time going back and forth, becoming the new faces of ESPN's NBA coverage. And I know they've made a lot of inferences and said a lot of things. I know JJ Redick recently made statements that got really everybody up in arms because of his words of disrespect about Bob Cousy and some other old time players that he showed a lot of disrespect for in some statements. And then Patrick Beverley in recent days has said a lot and gotten everybody up in arms, from everybody from Chris Paul to the Lakers, adding on the asterisk bubble comment in regards to what everybody says about that. Their favorite team didn't win the championship in the bubble was the Lakers. And so it's got to be an asterisk on that. So your thoughts on what's going on with those guys. And the fact is, Kendrick Perkins has said a lot in days that's gotten a lot of people upset as well. Your thoughts on these ex-players, or in the case of Beverly, just player that's going on vacation that looks like he's going to become one of those talking mouths when his playing days are done. But your thoughts on these type of ex-athletes, it seems to be getting a little bit more harder edged in what their commentary is more than ever.
It also seems to happen more often the closer they come to the end of their careers as players.
Yeah. And Draymond Green, just to let everybody know, has signed a contract with TNT. So once his playing days are done, he'll be on that side of the ball too.
Well, everybody sees it as the natural thing. You know, you're either going to go into coaching, or you're going into broadcasting, or some sort of connection there that allows you to still have a hand in the sport that got you there. Let's look at things one at a time. The koozie stuff, you know. Yeah, in a way, those guys are jokes compared to the players that are playing today and the skill sets that the players have today and so forth. But man, you know, I mean, these are the guys who paved the way for how much money you're making and the lifestyle you're living. So show some respect, man. I mean, seriously, you know, the basketball gods will punish you if you keep doing stuff like that. Or they should, at least, you know.
Yeah, because I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to say, hey, Laker Tom, do you think Bob Cousy would dominate in the playoffs right now? And I think the answer, we both know what that would be. But at least be respectful, like you said, for the path he paved for the players today.
Yeah, when you go to your $5 million house and, you know, and you're driving your $200,000 car, you know exactly who paved that road for you.
Yeah, because these guys weren't making
it. And those guys, man, remember back in those days, those guys had part-time jobs.
And they did back to back to back.
You know, I mean, it's a whole different world. And you know, it's just amazing when I think back, because I'm not sure if I really saw Cousy play, you know, live on television. I know I saw Bob Pettit play. I saw the Hawks win a championship. I saw the Celtics win a lot of championships against the Lakers. And man, the game really has changed dramatically. You know, I mean, now it's, you know, the 3-point shot, the Euro step, all of those things have so changed how the game is played completely. The Euro step has become a real bully ball move now. You know, I think that before it was always an evasive move, and now it's been turned into, I mean, I was teaching my granddaughter that same thing of being able just to, you know, cross that step over and change sides that you're going in and attacking the ball, the defender, and you're liable to get fouled when you do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just amazing, like you said, where we've come from where we've been. And, you know, I don't think that's a fair comparison. When you can't, you know, it just seems to be, even when it comes to like Wilt Chamberlain, no matter how much he dominated at his level back then, it is so hard to say, oh, yes, can Wilt be that same individual today? I don't think that's fair. That's a fair comparison because, again, you're dealing with different athletes, different times.
But the same, by the same token, those guys would. There are players, iconic players from every generation in the 75 years that the NBA's been in existence, who, if you took them in their prime and put them in the league today, they'd still be stars.
I wouldn't say Wilt Chamberlain would be bad by any stretch.
Wilt would dominate, man. I mean, at his peak, he was unstoppable.
Although then they go five out and he'd be played off the court like every other center in the league, seemingly. Yep. So playoff time comes, you're off the court, Wilt. Sorry. So
but guys like him, can you remember the old one-on-one that they used to have as the All-Star game? Or actually, was it just a tournament, I think, was sponsored? Was won by Rudy Tomjanovich. Mm-hmm. And the game was, when I was growing up and playing basketball, we all played that game 1-on-1.
Yeah.
And it was a game basically winners outs, and you could take guys underneath. There's no 3-second calls. Yeah. You could take guys underneath and just pump fake them until you just got, and you just shot, and you just didn't give the other guy the ball. That's how you win the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's something, again, I think it needs to be put in perspective, but I didn't appreciate those comments. I think that was very disrespectful to those who came before him.
Pat Bev wants to be a Laker, though.
Pat Bev,
he wants to be the filler on the trade for Russell Westbrook for D'Angelo Russell.
Well, that's what Redick said about disrespectful to those, like Bob Cousy and those in the past. But when it comes to Pat Beverly, he has been all over the place. He went off on
God, I don't want him on my team.
Chris Paul. Well, he was actually.
I don't want him on my team.
He was drafted by your team and my team. I don't want him on my team.
So I respect him as a player, and I was probably most players who played against me probably thought I was Pat Bev type of player. You know, I was more of an irritant.
But now he's on the wrong side of 30. People need to mention that as well with a contract that's not exactly.
I hate small guards too. You know, I mean, in the NBA. You end up
being Brunson, though.
And even though Pat's a good defender, he ends up being hunted a lot simply because he's only 6'1".
Well, we saw Chris Paul finally people figuring out that Chris Paul, you know what, is not that tall and can be actually exploited on the defensive end. And we saw that come to fruition.
Well, I don't know. There's talk now that he's got $90 million left on 3 years and $90 million. Yeah. 3 years of $30 million left on his contract. Maybe they'll trade him for Russ.
My gosh. Yeah. Wouldn't Joe love that? The guy who actually has been pining and living that nightmare in regards to the Chris Paul trade.
We finally get Chris Paul when he's over the hill.
Yes, absolutely. Indeed. That would be the last laugh for the Lakers.
Although, just one series ago, he was 14 for 14 from the field in a killer game to cinch moving on in the playoffs, man.
Well, if that's the case, and like I said, this week, Pat Beverly has said a lot of things that angered a lot of people out there. But if you were to go ahead and look at the landscape, you watch a lot of sports television like I do. You hear a lot of on the radio. You hear a lot of Sirius XM that's out there with the NBA channel. Who of the ex-players right now, and that includes the TNT guys, Sirius XM guys, ESPN, Fox Sports, whoever you want to go through, who is the one that stands out to you as an ex-player that gives you just some type of reassurance as a listener, some type of, this guy's really talking about. Like Tony Romo, he goes into the booth after he ends his playing days and instantly becomes a premier analyst in the league. People are just loving what he does as far as how he's anticipating the plays and things of that nature, because he's just fresh off of the game, fresh off of the field. So he's able to see things in a great perspective. Who out there, as far as an ex-player in the NBA is concerned, that's covering the NBA, is really someone that you admire and actually follow?
I like Eddie Johnson.
He's opinionated, but he's good. Especially
he's opinionated, but I especially
I love him like and Justin he, Termini together.
I like how he stands up to Justin Termini. And yes. So that's always a fun situation. Of the guys on Sirius XM, and I do listen to that quite a bit, Amin Hassan, I like him a lot.
Oh, Amin, he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome.
He's probably my favorite of all of the various.
Excellent choice.
He's
a former front office person.
Irony, a sense of irony and intelligence about the sport, and a great sense of humor, a real dry, but a great sense of humor.
I just want to let everybody know he's a former front office personnel. Right. If you're not familiar with his work.
Well, I don't. He played basketball semi-pro, I think.
Yeah,
I
but he never played in the NBA. But he's he a, like I said, NBA. Yeah, he's a former front office personnel, most prominently with the Phoenix Suns. But yeah, excellent, excellent choice. He's probably one of my favorites out there that knows the league probably better than anybody else that's talking out there.
He's, well, you know, there's so many of those guys just drive me nuts because of their prejudices that just I go crazy about. Antonio Daniels, I have a lot of respect for Antonio Daniels simply because he's on that morning show, and he basically is always fighting back against the cliches and assumptions that all of the other people on the program are always making about how this is always this way or that and so forth. He has a great perspective from a player is that things are usually a little simpler sometimes than people make them out to be.
Is there anyone on the TV that you're admiring as far as the work that they're doing?
Of the television teams?
We all know Inside the NBA is great, but it's usually great for
community. Yeah, I'm of that group of people. Ernie is probably my favorite over Kenny, and I do like Shaq and Charles's humor and so forth. I can't think of her name now. Who's the female announcer who's on the
Doris Burke.
Yes. I think she's terrific. Of the TV people, she may be the ones that are the best. I mean, I have a lot of, like, I really dislike the ESPN. I mean, you're bringing in personalities rather than people who really understand the sport or former players and so forth. Mm-hmm. Stephen A. Smith for me and Wilbon as your main attractions in the foursome that you've got on ESPN, I think is a terrible combination. I turn the sound off every time I see them talking. You know, I still like the TNT crew, but I haven't really found any of these other crews that are doing the post game stuff at all, having created an identity. You know, they're sort of like SiriusXM, that 50% of the shows don't have the people who are part of the show. They have guests because the people who are part of the show either work for a basketball team like Eddie Johnson does, or have other gigs happening, or, you know.
Well, one of those individuals you didn't mention that I kind of like is actually on both SiriusXM and ESPN, and that's Tim Legler, who provides to me some good insight, I think.
He hates the Lakers.
He does.
He really is anti-Laker on almost every comment he makes.
That's almost pretty much any of the individual. It seems like you always get, for the most part, that on ESPN, it seems like they have a they want to cover
Legler,
the Lakers.
Legler actually is gleeful when he has bad news about the Lakers.
But I'm talking about his coverage of the NBA.
Smile across the radio, man.
But his coverage of the NBA, I think he does have, like,
smart.
Right now
he's
during
a
the playoffs.
Guy. He's a smart guy, and he understands the game very well. But
I think he probably gets tired of the fact that ESPN has a priority of covering everything Lakers.
I don't know. He must be a Celtics fan or something like that.
Robert Carter is here. He wanted to go ahead and say in the chat room that they need Victor Oladipo. Well, Victor Oladipo, unfortunately for tonight on Miami, didn't do very much. In fact, the whole team didn't do very much, but we'll see what happens if he goes.
Well, there is an interesting situation because the Lakers' job this offseason, in my opinion, is to find four or five legitimate rotation players who could start on an NBA team to go along with LeBron and AD. Because last year, the guys we chose, Russell Westbrook, Kendrick Nunn, and Talen Houghton Tucker, were all busts, basically. And we need those players because you can't – LeBron and AD and a bunch of minimum salary guys is not enough to win a championship. Yeah. So it's the players that we're able to land. It's the two players we'll get for Westbrook and a pick. The one player we'll get for Talen Horton Tucker and a pick. And then there's this whole issue about hard capping so that we get the $10.3 million MLE and a $4 million BAE. So $10 million MLE – because of how few teams have salary cap, cap space this summer, there's like six or seven teams that'll have the $10 million MLE and a whole bunch of teams that'll have the $6 million MLE. But the $10 million MLE is going to be a very good player. It's going to be a player like a Victor Oladipo or a Bruce Brown or Isaiah Hartenstein. They're going to be really, really good players. Because that is going to be the salary that 90% of the good players in the league are going to be going after. There'll be very few little money for anything over the MLE because nobody has anything except for the exceptions to use.
Yeah.
The few teams that have big money, most players don't want to go there because they're not where you're going to win. And so it'll be fun to see. The Lakers could conceivably land a player like Oladipo with their MLE. Or Hartenstein or somebody like that. Two or three players who are splitting in $3.5 million each, for example, which is better than having a minimum salary player because you're at least getting guys who are better than earning the least that they can earn, you know.
Well, it's going to be very interesting come free agency for that decision to be made. And Victor Oladipo, if he stays healthy. Those are the words that probably anybody that we're getting or trading for if we trade Russell Westbrook. If we trade Russell
That's
Westbrook.
That's the reason why some of those good names are on that list.
Yeah. If
they wouldn't be on that list if they didn't have
healthy.
That. If they didn't have that little flag on them, that little red flag, Gerald.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's, little red cross right next to the name tells you why they're on the list.
Yes. If he stays healthy, they should all change their middle names to that. But before we head on out, my friend, it is the NBA playoffs. Right now, again, we just saw earlier this evening the Boston Celtics tie up the series with a dominating win in Miami. They got Al Horford and Marcus Smart back, and that really boosted
their overall. Al Horford come from, man?
He
put himself in the time machine and went back like 3 years.
And he does that for a game, and then the next game he kind of falters. So he had that huge game in the playoffs in the last round, and then the next game he kind of faltered. But I will say that is a great lift for them. He obviously, the past few days off because of health and safety protocols did him wonders as far as it's concerned. So he did look really good contributing today. Marcus Smart on a distribution end really helped facilitate things. And of course, on the defensive end. Shooting wise, it's still rough going, but he didn't need to go ahead and shoot well because everybody else on the team seemingly shot well. So they went on their way to a big win in Miami and are now tied heading into Boston. So,
and they have home court advantage now.
They now have home court advantage. So we'll see what happens there this weekend as Miami tries to go ahead and rest that back from Boston.
In my prediction.
Yeah, I know. It's looking more like I might have to change mine as well because Boston really looked dominating. I take one quarter out of the equation in these last eight quarters and you really have a full domination by Boston. Yeah. It's just that one quarter, the third quarter in the first game that really is the difference and the reason why they're tied up at this point in time. But the other game, the other series involved, and that's going to start game two tomorrow night as we're recording this, and that is Golden State with the 1-0 lead over Dallas. I'm not panicking too much on my pick because I picked Dallas to go ahead and win in six because of the fact that they started off this slow last round.
Well, and they're just holding serve. It's different. It's different than the Celtics situation because the Celtics – stole home court advantage.
Yes.
Therefore, they are definitely the heavy favorite now in the East, whereas the Warriors simply held court. They held serve.
Let me ask you this, though.
It's wait until somebody wins the game. If it goes to game seven, you know, it's a 60-40 chance. 60% for the home team, 40% for the other team. We'll have to see what happens.
Let me ask you this, though, before we head on out. When it concerns this series, you know, you've seen a Jekyll and Hyde team in the Golden State Warriors. They played tremendously in game one of this series. But remember, this team is the team a week ago that got killed in Memphis. Right.
Yeah.
This is a team that just seems
But the coach wasn't there.
Yeah, the coach wasn't there.
They thought they were in Sacramento because Mike Brown was coaching.
Yeah, it looked like it indeed. But when it concerns the Warriors, when everything's clicking, it is going to be really hard for them to be beaten by anybody. But the thing is, they often hurt themselves quite a bit. They're very turnover prone. They're committing to mistakes at times. They are a little bit undersized at positions, and I thought Luka was going to take advantage, but he was just bottled up the entire game in game one. Do you think that the Warriors will continue to have that kind of success for a seven-game series?
You know, in a normal year, and I don't think this is a normal year, in a normal year, I think that you can take a lot more out of a dominant victory. For example, I don't have any confidence at all that Miami can come back. I just don't see them coming back against the Celtics. And it's primarily because of the defense of the Celtics and Marcus Smart. Mm-hmm. There's a big reason why all of a sudden this game was under control for Boston right from the start of the game, whereas the other game wasn't. They just didn't have their stopper. You know, Tatum and Brown are pretty good defenders, but they're not Marcus Smart. There's a reason he was Defensive Player of the Year. You know, you bring him in all of a sudden and tell him, hey, go stop that guy who killed us the other game. And that's what he did. I see something strange about this year, and the injuries maybe have exacerbated it, but I it's a theme that I've had all year long that I sort of see a changing of the guard. It's certain players getting to the third or fourth year. It's Luka emerging. I didn't think that he could take them through that last series. I really didn't. And yet, the way he dominated that game seven was masterful, really masterful. He's going to be the NBA's best player in a couple of years, I think. Better than Giannis.
That's a great possibility. He's just got to go ahead and commit on the defensive end. I really just think that that's the only missing piece. Well, and I think he can do it.
Got to get into shape. He's got to get into shape.
Yeah. A lot better shape.
But I mean,
from the get-go.
6'8". He must weigh 250.
He's around 240, 245, I think. Yeah, in the range.
6'8", 245, man. I mean, because he bounces people off.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not
buff, but he bounces people off.
Yeah.
Very much in the same way as Jokic does. Yeah. Jokic does the same thing. It's that they've got that inertia that comes from size that's like sumo wrestlers, you know.
Absolutely. Don't,
you're not going to move me, man. So anyway, I see that it's like I think that there's still a chance in the Western Conference. I think it's going to be the Celtics versus whoever wins the Western Conference Finals. And right now I think it'll go down to game 7. I think that it's going to be hard for the visiting team to win these games because these two teams know that whoever loses the first game in the road is probably going to lose the series.
Yep.
It means looks like that there's a priority that both teams have that the teams that they've beaten in the past didn't have, and that's why they're not there.
I agree with you. It just seems like at some point in time, it's going to be whoever wins. You know, that's usually say when the series starts, it's usually when somebody wins on the road. So the series.
I mean, it's hard to imagine anybody other than Steph Curry winning MVP in the finals.
Right now, you've got to have some.
Could it be Jason Tatum?
Could be. Could it be Jordan Poole? You never know. I think when it comes to Clay,
I don't want the Celtics in the finals, but I don't see how they're going to – I don't see how they were going to keep them out now.
I don't see how indeed myself because they had a dominating performance.
The only thing that could work is just what I said about the fact that these are new teams that don't – I mean, just look at it. You got the Celtics on the one hand who – what's the best that they've done? They won the conference finals. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, was it? So they're one of the teams that is there. And then the other team, Miami Heat, nobody really expected Miami Heat to be there. What seeds are these? They're the 4 and 5 seeds? No, they can't be the 4 and 5 seeds.
Right now it's 3 and 4.
It's 3 and 4 seeds?
Yeah.
And in the West, we've got what seeds?
No, the West is 3 and 4. When it comes to the East, it's 1 and 2. Miami won the Eastern Conference. And
really? Boston, they had the best record?
Yep, and Boston had the second best record.
No kidding. Surprising.
Yes, that's
because but everybody sort of thought that Brooklyn and Philadelphia were better teams.
Well, there were three teams tied.
This is sort of like the Utah Jazz winning the West.
Well, there was three teams that had the same record for second place. Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia, but Boston had the tiebreaker.
So. Ah, I see. Okay.
So there you go. But Laker Tom, it's been great to have you here. We're going to be going ahead and talk more about what's going on with the Lakers in the NBA playoffs on Sunday night. But before we head on out, I know you've got an article that's coming out soon and that's out already on LakerHolics.com. I know Jamie Sweet is there doing his 5 things, but please tell everybody why they need to hang out for a bit at LakerHolics.com.
Well, it's actually a great time to stop by LakerHolics.com. I think one of the things that everybody will appreciate about it is that we try to curate a lot of stories and things that are happening in the Lakers that have a different point of view, and that we try to create subjects that drive conversations so that the readers and the members on the site can learn more and inform themselves more and get different points of views on what the Lakers should do about the coaching situation, what they should do about free agency, what they should do about the trades, what they should do with Russ and Talen and the other players. It's really, like Gerald says, the NBA does not have an off season. It's 12 months around. It's 24/7. And then the same thing happens on LakerHolics.com. If you're at all interested in discussing who and why the Lakers should make the moves that they should make and what kind of team we really should have and what you really think of various players and various trade proposals and various proposed coaches. And it's a great site to express your knowledge of the Lakers and to learn more and make some friends.
So be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, a huge shout out to everyone that watches us on the YouTube channel. Please go ahead and follow us today on YouTube. We have another great performance on our last video. I cannot thank you enough. Seeing the numbers, I'm just overwhelmed. It just makes me so happy that people are not only watching, but watching in great numbers on our YouTube channel. So please, a big shout out to you as always, and to everyone that watches or listens to us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But Tom, great to have you here once again. We'll be talking more NBA playoffs, maybe some more Lakers rumors. Who knows? Will Tom get interviewed for the Lakers coaching job and be asked, what would he do to be utilizing Russell Westbrook? And you know, his answer would probably include a lot of four-letter words too as well. But it is Laker Tom. It is Gerald Glassford. Hopefully we'll get Joe Soro, Jamie Sweet, maybe Sean Grice, maybe even L. Rob on the next show. Hoping to see them there, but I'm also hoping to see you there as well, right here at the Lakers Fest.